Jonah chapter 4, and it's on page 928 and then over to 929 in the Church NIV Bibles. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Lord, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee Tarshish. I knew that you are gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take my life away, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Have you any right to be angry?" Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. Then he made himself a shelter and sat in the shade and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give him shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about this vine. But at the dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine so that it withered. When the sun arose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die, and he said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Do you have a right to be angry about the vine?" "I do," he said. "I am angry enough to die." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it to grow it. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city?" This is the word of the Lord.
I was struggling that we're not many people like the numbers in the morning congregation, and should I have a softer tone? Should I have, what should I do? And God just said that just be who you are and be, so I'm not going to hold back. I'm just going to do it as it comes. So, good evening, everyone. And I'm sure I don't need to tell you that my name is Raymond. And today we're going to learn about Jonah in chapter 4. And this would conclude our series of sermons on Jonah. It's on, isn't it? Okay. Right. I'll just start from again. Okay. Good evening, everyone. I don't need to tell you that my name is Raymond. I'm sure you do know it. So today we're going to learn about Jonah in chapter 4. And this would conclude our series of sermons on Jonah. So before we go deeper into this chapter, let's pray. Let's bow our heads down and pray. Heavenly Father, make us a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us bring your love. Where there is doubt, let us bring true faith in you. So open our ears, O Lord, to hear your word and know your voice. Speak to our hearts and strengthen our wills, that we may serve you today, now, and always. Amen. So Jonah is known as the minor prophet. That's not because he is lower in the ranks of prophets, but that's because it's one of the smallest books in the Bible. And perhaps the only book in the Bible that ends with a question by God. This book gives a very important message to each and every one of us. Because somewhere deep down, we have a Jonah living in us. Last week, Amanda preached on how Jonah's reluctant mission to Nineveh was more successful than he could have possibly imagined. The last verse of that chapter, chapter 3, verse 10, describes God relenting from destroying Nineveh because they turned away from their evil way and repented of their wickedness. Every single person, from the poorest up to the king, believed in God and repented. This in turn meant safety for Jonah's own people, who had suffered terribly at the hands of the Assyrians. But instead of Jonah being delighted that he had saved the lives of 120,000 people, a town bigger than the size of Gillingham, and that God had forgiven the Ninevites, he is having a serious discussion with God. My brothers and sisters, the first two chapters of this book tell us what Jonah did. The last chapter and the part of chapter 3 tells us how Jonah thinks. People judge us by what we do, but the most important thing about us, the most important aspect about us, is how we think. We are where we are as a result of how we think. If things are right in our eyes, then they have to be right in our eyes. If things are wrong, then they have to be wrong in our sight, even without understanding the other's point of view or the reason behind the other's actions. We all are the same. We have two hands, two legs, two eyes, a face, mouth, a tongue, two ears. Yeah, maybe we differ in color. But the reality is that how we serve our Lord depends upon how we think. Let's go through the first few verses. I'm not going to read them, but the first few verses in chapter 4 just tells us that Jonah became furious. Jonah started to sulk because things were not going his way. He seemed let down by God. He might have felt that being a prophet, how would he confront the Ninevites after his prediction of destruction of Nineveh was turned into mercy and compassion by God. Perhaps there could have been a possibility the Ninevites might have mocked him. They might have accused him of being a false prophet, as God's judgment upon the Ninevites did not come upon them. Perhaps Jonah at all cost wanted to see the destruction of the Ninevites and would not settle for anything less. Jonah had just preached the most effective sermon where 120,000 people repented and turned to the Lord. He should have been the happiest man on earth. Jonah, the reality is that Jonah was a much better preacher than being a better person. Remember again, it's not what we do, but it's how we think. Now, the story, famously known as Jonah and the Big Fish, suddenly starts to take a dramatic twist. This story is best known for God using Jonah to fix the Ninevites. This story is best known for God using Jonah to fix the Ninevites. Let's hold this thought in our minds for the moment, and we'll come to this with a different angle later on. What does Jonah say to God? Daniel just read chapter 4. He says, I knew this would happen. I knew it. That's why I ran away. I knew you are a loving, compassionate, saving God. I knew it. Now I would rather die. In Sajju's intro a few weeks ago, Sajju alluded to that Jonah was more dramatic That's what happens basically at times, you know, when we are angry with someone and we know we made a mistake. We put some drama in it just to convince the other person. But let's move forward from here. So my brothers and sisters, if Jonah knew the characteristics of God, then what is the problem? He knew that God was kind. He knew that God was compassionate. He knew that God was full of love. He knew God was kind. He knew God was a forgiving God. So then what's the fuss about? Is he angry with God for being kind, compassionate, and forgiving? While he himself is enjoying God's mercy, and on the other hand, he's getting angry with God for showing the same mercy to the Ninevites. In verse 4, God replies back to Jonah and he says, "Is it right for you to be angry?" God says, "Is it right for you to be angry?" What was Jonah's job as a prophet? Jonah's job as a prophet was to confront people in their sinfulness with the word of God and call them to repentance. Jonah, the prophet of God, witnessed mercy and undeserved grace firsthand by God. Being a prophet, he should have seen both the Israelites and the Ninevites equally with the same compassion and with the same kindness, with the same love. Did he do that? The truth is that unfortunately we as human beings, don't see it in that way. The truth is that even when we have been blessed by God and shown mercy by God, we are still so sinful that we are not happy with others when others are treated in the same way and shown the same mercy and compassion by God. We, like Jonah, might be willing to go through the motions on the outside while we still remain rebellious against God and his compassion for all people on the inside. This is exactly what Jonah is demonstrating, that we can be obedient in our actions and still remain disobedient in our hearts. In verse 5, it continues, it says that Jonah sets himself at the east of the city and makes himself a shelter. He sets himself as he's going to watch an action-packed film and watch the destruction of the Israelites. Of the Ninevites. My brothers and sisters, Jonah sat in the shade of the shelter he had prepared for himself, and he was not willing to share that same shelter with the Ninevites. We at times do the same as Jonah. We shade ourselves from the realities of life and do not allow others to be a part of it. And this prevents us from seeing God's truth. It is again how we think that gets us where we are. We need to comfort one another. We need to shelter one another. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 3 to 5 it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any troubles with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ." My brothers and sisters, we need to comfort each other. We need to provide our shelter to others as well. My brothers and sisters, in the same way, how do we judge one another? Do we judge one another with the same set of rules that we judge ourselves? I'll give you maybe a silly example, but in my house, if my daughter does something outstanding, if she does something brilliant, if she gets a good result, my wife would quickly pounce and say, "Oh, she's the mother's daughter. Oh, she's gone on a mom," you know. And as soon as my daughter, the very same daughter, does something silly, my wife is quick to pounce and say, oh, you've gone on your dad. You're your papa's daughter. You're your dad's daughter. So, you know, why do we not judge each other equally with the same set of rules that we like ourselves to be judged? This is a reality, and Jonah was doing exactly the same when he was judging the Ninevites. He was using different set of rules. Now Jonah, in his discussion with God, is also trying to fix something that's not getting fixed in his favor. Have we been trying to fix a situation, a problem that is not getting fixed? How do we cope with things that we do not agree with? Are we trying to fix a situation according to our will rather than God's will, and it's still not getting fixed? It may be a situation in our house. It may be a situation in our workplace. It may be in our day-to-day activities. It may be in our church life. What do we do? We, at times, sulk as we evaluate things differently to others, as we judge things differently to others. This is exactly what Jonah was doing, as the undeserved mercy he had received from God was very well in his own eyes, and the mercy that God was showing to the Ninevites was incorrect. You see, two different set of rules for himself and for others. Jonah failed to see God's perspective for saving the Ninevites. Even though he knew God's characteristics, he knew about God. Does God have different set of rules while judging each one of us? Do we understand each other's thoughts and actions? In my house, I'll just give you examples from my house. So in my house, if my wife and me, we have an issue, what do? We need to discuss it. We need to understand each other's point of view and perception. And the reason behind the action, if we don't do that, what would happen? We would judge each other wrongly. But in order to understand each other's point of view, we need to jump into each other's boots and see how each of us are thinking, and then come to a common point. But if we don't do this, if we don't understand each other's point of view, it could lead, small things lead to bigger things. It could eventually one day we can have a clash. It could easily break up our marriage. Did Jonah understand the Ninevites' perspective of repentance in the same way as he repented in the belly of the fish? This is a very thought-provoking chapter, because it tells us how Jonah thinks. This is how we are at times. We judge people differently according to our relationship with them. That is a fact. We judge people differently according to our relationship with them. We judge people without understanding their thought process, as it is our thoughts that determine who we are. And we like God's mercy for ourselves and for friends, for our friends. And when we do not agree with others, other people's thoughts, and do not get our way, then we become angry. And we start to sulk. And this in turn leads us to gossip. This in turn leads us to be despondent. This in turn leads us to be negative. It leads us to have a pessimist view. It leads us to pull others down. And we as Christians, we shouldn't be doing all this. And this is the time when God challenges us to challenge our thoughts. Let's remember, just a few minutes ago, I asked you all to hold a thought. What was the thought? The thought was that God was using Jonah to fix the Ninevites. Listen to this. God prepared a great fish to save Jonah when he did not deserve it. Then he prepared a plant to provide shade above Jonah's head. Then God prepared the worm to eat the plant so that it withers. And finally, he prepared a scorching wind and Jonah grew faint. And this is the biggest twist of the story, my brothers and sisters. I have really struggled with this chapter for the last few weeks because all my life, until I read this again, I thought that God was using Jonah to fix Nineveh. All the way, I have been thinking that he has been using Nineveh to fix Jonah. He prepared the fish. Then he prepared the plant. He prepared the worm. And then he prepared the wind. He prepared all this to prepare the man Jonah. All the way, I have been thinking that God is using Jonah to fix Ninevites. But remember, God was not only using Jonah to fix Nineveh. He was also using Nineveh to fix Jonah. After reading this chapter, I thought all through my married life, I was trying to fix my wife. But in reality, God was using my wife to fix me, to fix my stubbornness, to fix my ego, to fix my temper, to fix my anger. And all that God wanted to fix on me, all this time, he's been using my wife to fix me. And I've been thinking that I'm trying to fix my wife. See, God does it both ways. It's not only one way. Jonah might have had double standards. Jonah might have been a hypocrite. Jonah became angry with God for showing mercy on Nineveh, even though he received the same mercy when he was in the belly of the fish. Jonah could see his own wickedness. Jonah could see the wickedness of Nineveh, but not his own. Jonah could see the wickedness of Nineveh, but not his own. He had a healthy perception of God. He knew that God was kind. He knew that God was merciful. He knew that God was full of compassion. But he was still resentful of God's compassion to the Ninevites. Are we investing a lot of time and energy to fix something that cannot be fixed? Maybe God is using that very situation to fix us. God was not only using Jonah to fix Nineveh, he was also using Nineveh to fix Jonah. My brothers and sisters, right from the beginning of this book, he was preparing to fix Jonah. In the same way, are we preparing to fix someone or something in our lives? Are we trying to fix a situation in our lives, but there may be a possibility that God is using that same situation to fix us? God might be using that same situation to change our lives. At times, we simply just don't get it. We just don't understand who that situation is working upon. And there's every possibility that that situation is working on us. God is trying to fix us. He uses all kinds of methods and situations to fix us. How bad could we hate someone to not want to show them mercy and forgiveness? And sadly, many of us might carry Jonah-like hatred for others or groups of people. God challenged Jonah to challenge his own thoughts. As it is easy to be obedient with our actions, but deep inside, we can be still rebellious to God in our hearts. That's why, my brothers and sisters, this book is named as the book of Jonah and not the book of Nineveh, because God had the perfect plan. God had the perfect plan to show us and make us realize that we might need to fix ourselves before we can fix others in our lives. The book of Jonah is a reminder that God loves everyone, not just the ones we love. This book of Jonah is a reminder that God loves everyone, not only the ones we love. And while anger can have its place, it is not our place to be angry with God and his plans for the world, or to tell him what to do, or to be mad when his purpose is achieved. Most of all, though Jonah is a story about getting what we don't deserve and not getting what we do deserve, this is the reason why God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to save us, even though we don't deserve it. Let's remember John chapter 1 verse 14. What it says, it's one of my favorite verses. It says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. You have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. My brothers and sisters in Christ, this world is full of pain. Let's not add to it. Let's not the enemy of our soul, and that's the devil. Take the D out of the devil and it's evil, and that's exactly what the devil does. Let's not the enemy of our soul make inroads into our lives, into our thoughts, into our words, into our mind. Because we as human beings are vulnerable in this world with the enemy of our soul, temptations all around us. The enemy of our soul will strike us in ways we have never ever seen before or imagined. It wants to create confusion among us. It wants to snatch the power of forgiveness among us. It wants to snatch the love within our hearts we have for each other. It wants to sow the seed of hatred among us. It wants to destroy the peace we have in our hearts. It wants to prevent us from seeing the bigger picture and be embroiled in petty issues. And this would continue to happen week in and week out as long as we're doing God's work. This would continue to happen week in and week out as long as we're doing God's work. Let's make a commitment today. If we are able, let's please stand. If we are able to. If you're able to make a commitment, let's make a commitment. Chris, can we have a few words up on the screen? Let's make a commitment today that we will uproot any Jonah-like thoughts that come into our hearts and minds, and we will not allow the enemy of our soul to make inroads into our life, into our church life, into our houses, into our workplaces. And whenever this would happen, we will turn around and we will say this together. We will say this to the enemy together. Let's say this if you're able to. Let's say this together. We will still forgive each other in the mighty name of Jesus. We will still support each other in the mighty name of Jesus. We will still love each other in the mighty name of Jesus. We will still pray for healing with each other, for each other in the mighty name of Jesus. We will still remain united in the mighty name of Jesus. And above all, we will always worship only one name above all names, and his name is Jesus. God bless us all. Amen.